But right now, it's time for Oh, the Humanities, taking a look at humanities events and research and news on campus and beyond, and of course now online as well, all through Carolina Public Humanities on campus. Humanities.unc.edu is the website for more information about what's going on and what will be going on as we start thinking about the fall semester, which is going to be here before we know it. Max Orr heads up Carolina Public Humanities. He is here in the studio now. How are you?
I'm doing fine. We have finally put our spring semester to bed. We were just talking before we came on about how Carolina Public Humanities pivoted in the spring kind of just to online, and we kept going, and then suddenly we realized, wait, do we take
it's
a break? So we were very happy to have had a wonderful sign-off on Thursday night. We had our last Humanities Happy Hour virtual about the meaning of happiness, and we're taking a little bit of a break, so it feels great. I just want to also mention, I'm a great spot for tracks. What a fantastic resource
is. Yeah, so good.
And I am hoping that eventually the theme song for Oh, the Humanities will be added to the
tracks music library. Just have to submit it.
Extended remix version.
Yeah,
I've got
yeah,
it, so
there
for
you go.
Sure. Well, as always, as I mentioned, we're going to take a little break for the summer. So I wanted to bring you some really special gifts related to today's date, June 29th. And I thought we might have just a little bit of a conversation on the impact of this particular piece of information
All
I'm
right.
going to give you. In 1975, the first prototype of the Apple computer was shown by Steve Wozniak. And I don't think that it's a coincidence that in 2007, on the very same day, the very first iPhone was released by Apple.
Oh.
On this day, 13 years ago.
All right.
And
Has it only been 13 years?
That's what's
Good
so
Lord.
Crazy. Crazy. I mean, it's like one of them. Of course, time has felt very
well, right.
Weird.
I mean, this year feels like 13 years, but still.
It's really just, you know, to think about what a transformative invention.
Yeah.
I just can't think of anything since the printing press or, you know, I mean, I guess there are all these technological ways that information has just sort of expanded, but there are ones that just seem light years, like the television might have been that, I mean, who knows, they all were right at the time.
But I mean, even with the television, like that was invented and people knew about it, but for the longest time, like TV was really only available in like New York and LA and the big major media markets, and it wasn't until 15 years after the TV was invented that it became ubiquitous. Like it's everywhere now, the smartphone is, and it was like lightning that happened.
I mean, it's incredible. I like to imagine movies made, you know, 60, 70 years from now, when we have chips inside of our brains or whatever we have, that there will be you could always, like, we can look at an old movie now and see the people going up to the wall and with the telephone and doing the ringing and putting it up to their ear. We're gonna look at movies from this era and be like, oh yeah, that was made in the early 2010s, because everybody is just staring at
their
cell phones.
Phone.
Exactly.
Yep.
But, you know, also just to think about, you know, as a humanist, I'm always interested in what is the humanistic spin on this? What does this mean for the world of ideas and our values? And boy, you couldn't think of another invention that has just had such a sea change in the way that we even approach. Look at, you know, so issues of social justice, the cameras that are on these phones that have suddenly opened up a world for our, you know, our black brothers and sisters who have known forever that this has been a police brutality in a very unfair society. And, you know, the iPhone and, of course, you know, Androids, et cetera, that followed on it have just opened up this whole new way of understanding our society.
Well, you think about cell phones as just a communication tool as well. Like it's just weird biographical detail about me. The day that I first became aware of just how ubiquitous cell phones were was 9/11, because on the day that that happened, I was at Rutgers, so we were on campus and walking from one building to another. That was the day that I noticed, because of course everyone's calling everyone and trying to be in touch. Everyone had cell phones, and that had not clicked into my head before. But within just a few years, then this becomes something that's not even new, but something that you take for granted, and that changes how we communicate with each other. The idea that we always have a phone on our person person that we can be reached at any time. That changes how we interact with each other as people. It means that we're communicating with each other through technology as opposed to knocking on doors and visiting each other in person. It changes our relationship with employers because now we can be on call 24/7.
I work 40 hours a week, but I write emails at 11:45 at night.
All of that is before the iPhone. Like, that's just the cell phone, and then you add smart technology and the cameras and the Wi-Fi to it.
For me, we were living in Paris at the time. We went to go see the end of the Tour de France when Floyd Landis won, if you remember. Yep. And that was the first time, because you know we had children. We hadn't been going out to a lot of live events or anything. And the first time I saw, this is 1 year before the iPhone, everybody had their phones out taking pictures and said, this is weird. And now, of course, we just accept it.
You take it for granted. No one holds lighters up at concerts anymore.
No,
it's just
exactly.
The flashlight. Yeah.
Exactly. And, you know, and all of the various things that have been replaced by it, you know, my musician friends will put out, you know, their metronome, their tuner, their, you know, all of the various things, their play-along music, everything that is replaced has been, you know, in one device. It's truly remarkable. And, of course, there are downsides. Right.
Of course.
We think about, you know, what it takes to have reflection and dialogue. And when we have instant access to events, we sort of have instant historical analysis, which can be great. Obviously, the more information, the more we can digest and think about it. But of course, we don't have to go far before we have manipulation.
Because it's not just more information. It's just more stuff. It's more of everything. Yeah.
And there it is. And there it is in front of us all the time. And we carry it around with us. And it is remarkable that you say it's only 13 years and to think of just how much has changed.
Yeah.
And so
horror movies. You have to be in a cabin with no cell phone reception. You can't have a phone just like not working all of a sudden.
No, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. The call is coming from, wait, that doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't.
Well, you know, I thought that was, there were lots of things happened today, of course, in history, but I thought that was interesting because we're facing, you know, at Carolina Public Humanities, a sort of, we're not at all in an existential crisis, but we're sitting here saying, how do we do what we do? And we've been talking about this, of course, and I've been bringing you all sorts of programs we've been involved in. But now it's sort of the rubber hits the road. We're going to take a month off and reopen in the fall as Carolina Public Humanities with an entirely online roster of events.
Okay.
We do have one event on October 24th. A live music event that we're hoping to be able to do, Cities of Music, Nashville and Vienna, two cities that you always think of together when you think of music. We had that scheduled in the spring, and we do have the big FedEx Global Center, so we're hoping, you know, we'll see that we'll be able to pull that off live. But everything else is online, and I could give you just a rundown of how we're going to do it if you're interested.
Okay, yeah, go for it.
All right, here it goes. So you remember our weekend seminars,
right.
Adventures in Ideas, very big seminar. So we're going to repackage that in the same way, multiple speakers, but we are investing in technology. My colleague Paul Bonici, bless him, has suddenly become, I say he's getting his card for SMPTE, Society of Motion Picture and Television Engineers or something, because the amount that he's had to pivot from being a K-12 curriculum expert and good at social media to doing video editing. And so,
Now you have to do that in order to be a K-12 expert.
Of course, absolutely. Yeah. But I mean, even if we think about it, what we've been talking about with the iPhone, the competition that anybody faces in an online environment. So what does Carolina Public Humanities have to offer? We have a wonderful base of faculty.
Mm-hmm.
We have a wonderful group of alums and people who are loyal to Carolina who don't want to just hear anyone talk about X topic. They want to hear Carolina faculty talk about it.
Yep.
So a challenge for us is to do this. We'll be doing our online Adventures in Ideas completely online with high-quality cameras, high-quality integrated graphics using online broadcasting software. A lot of big, steep learning curve over the course of July on this. Humanities in Action will also be done the same, but we will then also pivot to a lot of dialogic things. And, of course, we all know that Zoom and webinars have been, who wants to go on Zoom and webinars again? But with these smaller groups, like book groups discussions that we have, so we're going to do our great books just like normal. Send everyone a book, and unfortunately, we're going to get together Zoom.
Right.
But we'll have a wonderful new program called Salon Conversations, which will be what we call the Talking Humanities this spring. We'll be looking at an article and inviting 10 to 12 people to discuss with the UNC faculty person, you know, articles of contemporary relevance,
okay.
things that are coming out. So it should be really wonderful.
Do you know what some of the articles are
already?
We're going
to try to keep our fingers.
Contemporary?
Yeah,
we're
going to secure the faculty first and then say, you know, did something come out in Atlantic, Vanity Fair, New York Review of Books, something that would just be a good way of kickstarting a conversation on a subject. So we have that, and of course we'll be resurrecting our biography series, which was a great success. That was so, I mean, that's fun for me. Twist my arm talking to dear friends about interesting people for half an hour. So we have that, and then of course we still have our K-12 and community college programs. And so the trick for us is to figure out, you know, can we duplicate our efforts? Can we take some of this content and generate good discussions with community college audiences? None of this is a substitute for the live. But what we're hoping, like everything, is that we're just adding some skills and opportunities for us. We're reaching people through different media. So this will be an opportunity when people come live again. We'll just have twice as much work
to
do.
That's awesome. Of course, yeah. I'm looking forward to seeing how this develops over the course of the year because, you know, as someone who's in local journalism, I love following the Daily Tar Heel from September to May. And you can tell in September, like, a lot of students are just joining the staff and they're beginning to learn how to be journalists, and some of their reporting can be a little rough. And then by the time you get to May, they're putting out just incredible stuff, and it's the same people. They've just been doing it for 9 months, and they've learned so much. Like, you're starting out with all of this new technology. By the time you get to May, it's going to be a well-oiled machine. You're going to be doing stuff you can't even imagine.
You won't even recognize me with my 2 million YouTube followers that we'll have, Aaron. And yes, I guess I can come in and talk to Aaron on Monday.
Yeah,
my
3
million social media followers.
Well, you'll be Facebook Living it, but like with...
Yeah. Exactly.
Super advanced technology.
We'll have a release form for
viewers.
Our dear friend Aaron.
Exactly.
So no, it's a challenge. Look, you know, there's no doubt about it, and you know, we can't. A lot of our programs are revenue generating, as you know. Some are free. Many will have many of free options, like we always do. But we also have our ticketed options, and you know, we can't charge the same price if we're not giving you a meal access. So we're hoping it's just like any business decision people make. I hate to use business calculation in the humanities, but a lower price and more people, more geographical reach. There are a lot of people who live in New Bern
for
who
sure.
maybe don't want to come up for a weekend seminar, but hey, drop up, you know, a third of the price and get that same high quality and not having to do it all. We're also going to stagger it so you don't have to do a weekend seminar one time. It's going to be more like a week-long class.
Okay.
If you will, as
I like
opposed
that.
To, and then of course follow it up with a Zoom panel session, so that people can have that interaction. Again, it's a poor substitute, but we do think we can put together pretty good quality, and we hope it'll look nice. And we like I said, it's just adding a little sizzle. And extra work down the road,
of course. Speaking with Max Orr, humanities.unc.edu is the website. This is a side note, but what do you think campus is going to look like? We talk about everyone going back to campus, but I mean, not everything is going to be happening in person, right? A lot of stuff's going to happen online.
Well, I mean, my approach to this is to... I have been assigned one of those classes that is sort of hybrid, and there are no instructions really on what that necessarily means. I have 28 students enrolled in this course.
What's the course?
It's a history of France, 1870 to 1940. So it's the history of the Third Republic.
Right.
It's very obscure, but I put a really contemporary spin on it. We do a lot of cool stuff in the course. You ever want to talk about the Dreyfus Affair or racism in interwar France, maybe the polarization between the right and the left, and you don't want to do these topics in America, let's look at France. Anyway, so it's a great course, but you know, I went to look at my room assignment and it's no longer available, which means that they're probably finding a very large lecture hall for me to teach 28 people
dotted around.
Yes. So my approach to this is just to assume that everything is online and to have the opportunity to have live engagement with students. But for the student's safety, if they don't feel comfortable, they can take my course completely online.
That's good.
And I'll just make myself available with full PPE protections. It's a real lot of unknowns. I'm just not sure. I'm going to be recording my lectures over the course of July, mm-hmm. and in fact, experimenting with these new technologies for CPH.
Like
I'm going to experiment doing pre-recorded lectures on France.
Awesome. So other things that folks want to know?
Well, I just want to thank everyone at Carolina Public Humanities. We are starting back up. If you folks are interested in community college work with us, please contact us. If you know K-12 teachers who are need CEU, continuing education units, we are functioning and working. We're working on two great programs that will be part of our Teaching Hard History, which is our Carolina K-12 program, for which Christy Norris just won a Bryan Service Award for.
Nice.
So I just want to make sure that people know we're working, we're up and running, and we're ready to serve our various communities in all the ways that we have. So there is some ambiguity, like we put a date on something and we're like, we think that so, but we're, you know, again, just like we didn't plan on having over 20 online events, and we pivoted.
And then
we pivoted. So we'll be here. We're strong, we're solvent, and we're ready to keep going into the next semester.
I look forward to hearing more. So speaking with Max Orr, and this is going to be our last meeting for about a month.
Yeah, we'll come back on at the beginning of the semester. If you can stand being away from us, I hope you play the song once a week at least.
We'll try to find a place for it. So before you go, I have one more question.
Please.
The last event that you did was on happiness.
Mm-hmm.
What'd you learn?
Well, we learned that you really only understand happiness by understanding sorrow.
Okay.
That was one of the things, both from a religious understanding, and that truly happiness comes from understanding yourself and being content with yourself. There was a sort of some notion of almost like mindfulness that leads to happiness. If you're really aware of your own happiness and your own contentment inside,
like
of you.
Present in the moment.
Present in the moment, not worrying about your job, not worrying about whether you're being a good father, not worrying about all of these other jobs, careers, fame, you know, ephemeral joy, you know, drinking, whatever it is,
right?
Like this, the true contentment, which seems like something that that we've heard before. The other is that happiness comes from not trying to control those things you can't control,
right?
And finally, we talked about happiness in music, and we had this really wonderful thing where we said somehow, when you listen to a really sad song,
mm-hmm.
and it makes you cry, and you're overcome with the sadness. But what is the end result of all that is a form of happiness.
Catharsis,
form of this balance of that little moment. So I think on a macro level, maybe as a society, hopefully we're going crossing that threshold of the end of the song so that we can look back and say, gosh, I feel like I'm a stronger and happier person for having lived through these trying times.
I hope so.
I hope so, too.
Humanities.unc.edu for more information. Look forward to the fall semester, which starts in a month and a half.
Don't remind me.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.